For our next story, we're going to hear from another improviser, one who specializes in jazz. By day, Lauren Benedict works as a theoretical and computational physicist at Lawrence Livermore Labs. His job description sounds something like this.
I work on properties of materials, or predicting the properties of materials, chiefly at extreme conditions of temperature and pressure, like at the center of giant planets or in stars.
But by night, what Benedict does sounds more like this.
Feather the weaving, high foot, wagoot shram foo, feather twin vin forgot, white vething, with a weaving, sing he in dream saw.
Want to know more? Let's listen.
My name is Lauren Benedict, and I live in Oakland, and I am, I guess, what I would term a scat singer. So I use my voice essentially as an instrument.
Farot shrim vin bop. Swin vin drew twin vin di life in thought fin vin vethu weavers in fop sin vethu hi vethu fin soost.
When I first started performing, people would ask, hey, that sounds pretty good, but aren't you ever going to sing words? And after a certain period, that kind of questioning stopped. It became not, are you going to sing words, but what language is that?
Strim sost li vethu vin vethu hi vethu uten vendu will belim vin soot.
The thing that I hear the most is that it sounds German. I have heard the Scandinavian thing before. I've also heard Yiddish. But needless to say, I'm not a speaker of any language other than English. And so I don't know really where this is coming from, other than it's just sort of what comes natural to me.
My van vin drop weep vibe the vi have other hoover weavers in van in winzing with the lap winzing with.
When I was a little kid, my sister and I had this sort of made up language, which was not representational. I mean, the words didn't really mean anything, and we didn't pretend that they meant anything. This set of syllables didn't stand for something. It was just more to invoke feeling. Or evoke feeling.
Why that when sin vin shot? Why the one strit man fnam ribi?
And I think I've always felt, even when I was a little kid, that a large amount of actual communication, even with conventional language, is done above and beyond sort of linguistic particulars. And so the very simple illustration of this would be, we had a little dog, and my stepmother and my sister insisted that the dog understood English, and my father and myself, the rational males, insisted that that couldn't be the case. And for instance, the stepmother would say to the little dog, "Laddie, come here and sit down," and then I would say, "Trim swindle bin troll bin trim beel," and then you do the same damn thing. So I mean, that sort of proved my point. But it also, in a sense, set me on this course, because it sort of taught me that you can convey a lot with that above and beyond literal meaning. I come from a family of instrumental musicians that are all professionals, that are actually none of them improvisers, but all come from the Western classical tradition. They are or were in various major orchestras. I'm a pretty hard-headed guy, and so, of course, it was the case that my parents tried to get me to play an instrument when I was younger, and I did not take to it at all. It was the violin, actually, when I was 6 years old. And as soon as I could get away with not ever doing it again, that's what I did. And I knew I wanted to be a scientist, and that's it. And that was also encouraged. My dad actually has a PhD in physics, even though he's a bassoonist. So I just, I was only going to do music if it was on my terms. Like wild god vin, better boo he was at winds in where do all fins in gabble he was hitting with it all.